The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Coming to you from the Carter Subaru Studio. Welcome. Welcome to our top stories this hour. And we've got a lot of stuff to cover here. Let's get right into The Big Lead.
The Big Lead, Dory Monson Show exclusive.
I want to welcome to the show. I can't believe in 26 years on the air, I believe this is the first time I have had Franklin Graham as a guest on my show. Franklin, what an honor. Pleasure to have you on with me today.
Hey, listen, thank you for the opportunity. I've been looking forward to it.
Good. And I will say, I do consider your dad to be one of the greatest Americans of all time, one of the greatest people in the world in our history. I just, how much richer we are and how many people were saved because of your dad, it's a pretty cool thing.
Well, thank you. And he loved Seattle. That was one of his favorite cities.
Well, in fact, a lot of people may not know this, but the very first event ever in the kingdom, when we built it back in 1976, was a Billy Graham crusade. I was only 14 years old. I didn't go, but 54,000 people packed the kingdom to hear your dad. And it's really interesting to see how Seattle has evolved from then till now, Franklin. I know that you've been kind of witnessing some of that as well.
Yeah, you know, I was there and with my father at the kingdom, and that was a tremendous event that took place. And many lives were changed. Many people put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. It was just a great week that he had there at the kingdom. And I'm sad by, what's happening in Seattle. But my prayer is that God will change the hearts of many people in that city, and we'll see it turn to a different direction.
Well, and I want to get to that in just a moment. That's the reason we invited you on the show. I would be remiss if I didn't get your thoughts on the breaking news that we just had at the top of the hour. Bill and Melinda Gates just announcing moments ago that after 27 years of marriage, they are going to divorce. What are your thoughts on this breaking news?
Well, I'm sad for them. God is the one who created marriage. And of course, marriage is defined in the scriptures between a man and a woman. And this couple has been talk about a power couple. This really is a power couple. And they've done a lot of good. And I'm in Alaska right now. We're getting ready to open up for the 10th year a facility up here where we bring wounded soldiers and their spouses, and also we bring wounded police officers and their spouses for a week up here in Alaska. We treat them to bear viewing and all that kind of thing, fishing. But we work on marriages, and we see every year couples who are going to divorce change their minds and renew their marriage vows and stay together and move forward. And I would just hope that someone could get to the gates and encourage them to continue and help them to try to work through their problems. There are a lot of pressures on marriage today, no question about it. And it can be very difficult, even under the best of circumstances. But this is an unusual couple that has really done so much good, and I just hate to hear it.
Yeah, I agree. Okay, the reason we wanted to have you on is you have been planning an event to say thank you. And I know you've been very present, been doing television commercials here in Seattle. You've been walking. You filmed them with all the boarded up buildings that we have downtown. You wanted to do an event to say thank you to our first responders. So tell me about that event, first of all.
Well, it's first, the men and women in blue, our law enforcement, they're under such tremendous pressure. It's not just Seattle, but it's across the country. And especially with these various communities that want to defund the police and don't back the police, and they're discouraged. And, of course, there's over the headlines over last week, I believe, over 200 have quit in Seattle this past year.
Yes.
And how discouraged they are. So we're wanting just to have a dinner, and we're inviting the police and their spouses, and they can be, regardless of their religion or their sexual orientation or whatever, if you're a police officer, you and your spouse are invited. And we're going to just have a great dinner, a time for fellowship one with another. We've got a great speaker. We'll have live music, but it'll be just an evening for them, and we're paying the bill. And it's no charge to them. We just want to encourage them and let them know that we love them and we support them and we back them 100%.
Well, the SPD, they, in fact, forwarded your invitation to all of the officers, and that's when a member of the Seattle City Council, who, you know, has certainly indicated that she has very strong Marxist leanings, she essentially went nuts, and she put heavy pressure on the Seattle Police Department to rescind the invitation because she said you and your organization hosting police officers might offend our LGBTQ community. So what is your response to the Seattle City Councilwoman Lorena Gonzalez?
Well, for any police officer that is a member of this LGBTQ community, they're certainly welcome. And again, we're wanting police officers, regardless of their religion or sexual orientation, the color of their skin, they're welcome to come. And we just want them to know that we support them. And that this is all this is. It's just a chance to get behind our law enforcement when they're discouraged, when they're down. And so I'm sorry that she has taken that position. But we're still going ahead with the dinner. We haven't backed down. We've got a number of people coming, and I think by next week, the 11th, I will see many more who will come.
Well, and you know, when we were talking about Bill and Melinda Gates, you were talking about marriage, and you said you have that biblical interpretation that marriage is between a man and a woman. That's what they have a problem
right.
with. They can't handle dissenting views on anything, and so the motive, because you do not do, or I'll ask, do you do anything that actively discriminates against the LGBTQ community?
No, never. We would never do that. And first of all, I'm not anti-gay. I love them and care for them and want them to know the truth. And I believe the Bible is true, so I want to share with them what God has to say. It's not what Franklin Graham says, it's just what God says. And so I want them to know those things, but I certainly I don't go to their rallies and picket. I don't fight them in any way. We invite them. We're not fighting. We're inviting people to come. So I'm sorry that she took this position, and hopefully she'll change her mind.
Well, that's a really interesting point that you make. We're talking with Franklin Graham, that that she has a different view on marriage than you do. And their approach is, we must silence Franklin Graham. Your approach is, you can have your view. We won't come pick at you. We won't try to silence you. And I will have my view. And I think that that's important these days, because so much of it has just become the tyranny of the left and mandated thought. And if you don't go along with it, they won't just disagree with you. They will hate you and try to silence you.
And that's unfortunate, the world in which we live in today. And, you know, the point I want people to know is, first of all, that God made us and created us, and God loves us. But we have a problem, and that problem is called sin. And the Bible says that we've all sinned, we've all come short of God's standard. But Jesus Christ is God's Son that he sent to this earth to take our sins. The penalty of sin is death. The entire human race is under a death sentence from God. But God so loved the world that he sent his only Son, Jesus Christ, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but should have everlasting life. And this is the message as a Christian. This is what I preach. It's about God's love, that he loves us so much that he sent his Son to take our sins, and he died on a cross. He shed his blood. He was buried. On the third day, God raised his Son to life. And if we're willing to repent of our sins and turn from them, God will forgive our sins. He'll heal us, and we can have eternal life with him in heaven. And I just want I want everyone to know that, and I certainly would never force it on anybody, but I'd want them to know that. And everybody has to make a choice of themselves. I cannot choose God for somebody. Everybody has to make that choice themselves, but I want them to at least know that God loves them and cares for them, but there's only one way to God, and that's through Jesus Christ, who took our sins to the cross.
Amen. The dinner goes on, right? You're still going to have this dinner for the first responders?
Oh, absolutely. No, we are not going to back down at all.
Okay, and so since they couldn't get the invitation through the email system because of tyrannical politicians, is there a place where they can find out more info if they want to come and attend?
Absolutely, billygraham.org. Just go to the website, okay. And there's a banner there you can click on and you can see where to go and how to register and all that.
All right. I hope many, many, many take you up on it. Franklin Graham, honored to have you on the show. I respect greatly the work that you do. Thank you for coming on with me today.
Hey, well, thank you, and God bless.
God bless you as well. Franklin Graham joining us here on the Dory Monson Show. And that's what's going on right now around here, and it is tyrannical that we are mandating the radical left is mandating how people think and talk. I mean, I told you last week, Lorena Gonzalez went off for a minute 20 at a Seattle City Council meeting because somebody used the word citizens. It made her crazy. She, the government, when we have a First Amendment that gives us freedom of speech. Here, just listen. I just went back and found the soundbite. This is Lorena Gonzalez at a Seattle City Council meeting last week. She's the woman who put pressure on Chief Adrian Diaz, and I think Chief Diaz has revealed himself to be a very weak leader to cave in to Lorena Gonzalez's Seattle City Council demands to rescind this invitation to allow cops to go to a beautiful dinner, to say thank you, to say we appreciate you, to say we love you. And the dinner goes on, but Lorena Gonzalez wanted to silence the word getting out. She didn't even want to have to give cops the opportunity, the freedom. This is the government wanted to deny the freedom of cops to decide if they want to go to this dinner or not. And, but listen, if you missed this last week, this same person, Lorena Gonzalez, because somebody said a certain nasty word at a city council meeting.
I just want to encourage some sort of more inclusive language as we're talking about these efforts. And again, you know, this comes from my perspective of being somebody who came up through the immigrant rights movement and who is part of the immigrant and refugee community in our city. I would really like to discourage sort of the use of the terminology citizen as we are talking about who we are delivering services to.
Can you believe this? I mean, I'm 33 seconds into it. And it goes on for another 47 seconds. I'm not going to make you listen to all 47, but listen to this, because somebody used the word citizen at a Seattle City Council meeting.
It really isn't just about people born in this country, but about everybody who resides, lives, and works in the city of Seattle is deserving of these public safety services. And I realize that Director Lombard, you didn't intend to use language that would exclude segments of our population, but
it just goes on and on. There's another 25 seconds, and she's talking to Director Lombard, who's the head of some city department. I don't remember which one. But for a minute 20, she's chastising a guy for using the word citizen. And she sounds like she doesn't even know. She says, I mean, there are people here who weren't born in this country. There are a lot of immigrants who are citizens, Lorena Gonzalez. But she wants to make the distinction, apparently, between citizens and people who are illegal aliens and, you know, everybody else. But I assume when she says, well, I came through the immigrant rights movement and I'm active with our refugee community. If you're a Seattle City Councilwoman, you're a citizen. So it's obvious if you can do it, then other people can come into this country legally. A million a year do. They can wait their turn in line. They can seek and are granted citizenship and become part of the rich tapestry of our country. But that's the kind of tyranny we're talking about. Cops can't go to a thank you dinner if it's a Christian who is putting it on. People can't use the word citizen, must use resident. And this is what happens when we have, and this is what I've been talking about for years and years now. And we're seeing all the things I warned you about 5, 10 years ago, all coming to fruition about losing essential, basic, foundational rights. And that is the desire here. Jay Inslee, desperate, along with all the Democrats in the state legislature, not all, all but two, Mark Mullett and the guy who caucuses with Republicans, Sheldon, Tim Sheldon. They all want an unconstitutional state income tax. And so even though they all swore to uphold and defend the Constitution, including the Constitution of the state of Washington, which prohibits any kind of graduated income tax, they ignore it. They ignore the Constitution. They ignore the oath that they take to defend the Constitution. And now they're going to see if they can weasel their way through the courts with it. The tyranny has arrived. Okay, I got a lot of other news I have to get to. Let me take a quick time out here. We'll get Aaron in with the local news, and then we'll continue with the big lead next here on the Dory Monson Show.
Once there was a princess.
Was the princess you?
And she fell in love.
Was it hard to do?
It was very easy. Anyone could see that the prince was charming. The only one for me.
Was he strong and handsome?
Was he big and tall?
There's nobody like him. Anywhere at all.
Did he say he loved you?
Did he steal a kiss?
He was so romantic.
No,
I could not resist.
Did he steal a kiss? Okay, so Disneyland reopened yesterday. People were emotional. I love Disneyland, although it's getting really woke, apparently. You know, they changed the Pirates of the Caribbean. They changed the Jungle Ride. They have to change everything. I can't have pirates chasing a wench in a circle. We can't have people on the shores of the Jungle Ride who are barefoot and wear grass skirts and throw spears. We can't have any of those things. So Disneyland's gone woke. I was looking forward, because I will tell you, as a dad, it is absolutely breathtakingly wonderful to take your kids to Disneyland for the first time. Because if you love Disneyland, I went a couple times as a kid. If you love Disneyland as a kid, and then you get to see it, moms and dads, you get to see it through your child's eyes. Ah, it's like you being that age again. It's really cool. So I was kind of hoping to take my grandkids, but Disneyland's getting woke. So anyway, they redid the Snow White ride, which is one of the most famous at Disneyland. And those Disney Imagineers, man, they are into their job.
We're finally giving Snow White the happily ever after that she deserves. We are putting the finishing touches on the attraction. Star of the show is Snow White. So we thought it would be really, really important to introduce her early on. So we have a new dancing Snow White character that actually now dances with Dopey. And the interaction between them as you move through the cottage is really kind of almost cinematic.
Hey, you know, I just thought of this. Of all the things the council crowd is upset about, it's stealing a kiss. What about calling a low IQ dwarf Dopey? They don't seem to care about that. Or a guy who's clearly got sleeping disorder. He's narcoleptic. A narcoleptic dwarf called Sleepy. And nobody has a problem with that. Okay, so anyway, the new revamped Snow White ride at Disneyland, at the end, Snow White gets out of the curse that the witch puts on her when Prince Charming gives her a kiss, as you just heard, steals a kiss. Well, SF Gate, San Francisco news site, it went berserk yesterday on this. A kiss he gives to her without her consent while she's asleep, which cannot possibly be true love if only one person knows it's happening. Haven't we already agreed that consent in early Disney movies is a major issue? That teaching kids that kissing, when it hasn't been established, if both parties are willing to engage, is not okay? It's hard to understand why the Disneyland of 2021 would choose to add a scene with such old-fashioned ideas of what a man is allowed to do to a woman, especially given the company's current emphasis on removing problematic scenes from the Jungle Cruise and Splash Mountain. Why not reimagine an ending in keeping with the spirit of the movie and Snow White's place in the Disney canon, but that avoids this problem? She was asleep forever. She would have never awakened if it wasn't for that kiss. That's a good thing. And we got news sites going off. Ah, Sean, I think we have to do a cancel culture update here.
This is your cancel culture update.
So yeah, at Splash Mountain, they said the fact that the Song of the South played while you would float in your log, they had to get rid of that. So they've removed the Song of the South. I told you they've updated Pirates of the Caribbean and the Jungle Cruise as well. And now the maniacs, the tyranny of the radical left, they now are telling us that because Prince Charming brought Snow White back to consciousness, just as a lifeguard gives, what do you call it, the where you breathe and pound the heart. What do you call that? Why can't I remember?
Resuscitation?
First aid. No, there's another word for it.
Mouth to mouth?
Mouth to mouth and... Jeez, what is wrong with me? But yes, just as a lifeguard gives mouth to mouth to breathe
CPR? Is that
life.
What you're looking for, Dory?
CPR!
I was screaming it. I just wasn't on.
Oh, man.
And I'm pretty sure that she it's like kissing your wife good morning before she wakes up. If you were to wake her up with a kiss, she's already voiced to you previously that this is an okay thing to do.
Yes.
And I'm pretty sure Snow White gave him the thumbs up before listening to that song, right?
Exactly. But he breathes consciousness and life back into her, and the nutbags on the left can't handle that, and sadly, I must announce, because of that, Snow White, you must be
canceled. This has been a Cancel Culture Update. Now back to your regularly scheduled program.
All right, I'm going to take a quick time out here. We got awesome audio of the day, fantastic bunch to kick off the week. Try to get a today's sign in. I always run out of time for today's sign, but I'll do it all, and we'll do it live. Next, on the Barry Monson Show. I want to let everybody know our news partners there at Cairo 7. What happens in your neighborhood matters. Whether you're in Everett, Olympia, Federal Way, Tacoma, Linwood, Marysville, somewhere in between. Cairo 7 has your back. They're dedicated to the North Sound. They have a South Sound Bureau, and they help you navigate important issues where you live step by step. Watch live tonight at 5 o'clock on Cairo 7 TV. And down the stretch we come. What a day, what a show, what a show, what a day. Tomorrow afternoon, Charlie Kirk will join me here on the Dory Monson Show. I'd heard him in short bursts just in TV interviews, but he's a 27-year-old guy. He is brilliant and just captivating. 2 hours. Usually I don't sit still well for a 2-hour speech. But it just flew by because he's a smart guy and a man of great faith and a man of great political convictions as well about our country. So I'm at the event, and we got there about an hour early. We went with another couple, friends of ours, and there's another family sitting right behind us. And I wanted to say hi to the young man that I met last night, Kai. Hey, Kai! It's nice talking to you last night. Kai's a fourth grader at King's School, and he was articulate and engaging. Big kid too. Plays football, basketball, soccer, but he wanted to go and hear Charlie Kirk, and I thought that was very impressive as well. So I just wanted to say hi to Kai, who I talked to last night, fourth grader at King's. Good young man. All right, and with that as mere prelude, let's get to our favorite sound bites of the day.
This is Dory Monson's awesome audio clips of the day.
I don't know if I want Kai to hear this one. So Hillary Clinton, she was doing a bunch of interviews, and she's been asked how President Biden is doing. And she said something that raised a couple of eyebrows.
Give President Biden a grade. Overall, first 100 days, how's he faring?
I'd give him an A, and I'm a hard grader. I'd give him an A both on effort, because he's done a couple of things so well, Fareed. He has once again embodied and modeled what a president should act like in the Oval Office, in the White House, in the world at large.
All right, that's all we need to hear. So Bill Clinton's wife is saying that Joe Biden is once again modeling what a president should act like in the Oval Office? That's ironic. And then, I tell you what, CNN is so desperate. Their ratings are in the tank. There is certain language that I cannot say on the radio, and I would not say because, as I've mentioned, I don't swear. I just have chosen my whole life to not swear off the air, on the air, anywhere. But CNN has decided to let people like Jim Acosta swear on the air. And we bleeped this, but the word went out twice as Jim Acosta was talking on CNN.
The lies these days are moving at the speed of light while spreading so much darkness. Take, for example, the uproar over this New York Post story that claimed that copies of a children's book written by Vice President Kamala Harris were being given to migrant kids in their welcome kits. That tale from the border didn't just border on BS. This was USDA grade A. And the reporter who wrote the story resigned, claiming she was forced to make it up. But the damage was done. pumped out over the airwaves at the shit factory, also known as Fox News.
It's interesting he's criticizing another network while using language that I thought you could not use on CNN. Kai, don't ever use language like that. Makes you look bad. Jim Acosta looks bad. It's a reflection on him. Okay, I don't want Kai to hear this one either.
Oh, wait, man. Dory, did you see the updated top audio that I found? I tried to tell you.
I'm going to skip the one that I don't want the kids to hear.
That's fine. We just did it an hour ago, so we're good.
Yeah, that's true. Okay. So this is a brand new one. I haven't even heard this yet, but do you think it's worthy of
it's awesome pretty cute. Audio of the day? So we had talked about earlier that Biden was at an elementary school, and he tried to make a joke, asked elementary school students if they were in ninth grade because he thought they were smart or something. But then this little girl I thought was pretty cute.
Okay, so this kid tells President Joe Biden why, and he went and visited their classroom. They were back in class, but she told him why she liked school better when it was online.
It's also proof they should be in school.
Yes.
Like, if we
are, like,
really tired, then we can, you know, take a little nap.
Yeah, you just turn off the camera. I've seen that. Yeah, you call on some, and your teacher calls on you, and they're like, where are you?
And if you don't know the question, you just pretend like your mind
doesn't
matter.
Oh, great.
So she said she takes naps
and
during
pretends
class.
When you don't know the answer to a question, you can pretend your mic doesn't work.
Right.
Man, oh, man. Yes, that's why we need the kids back in class. They all knew to just scam it. The ones who are getting anything. Okay, that is going to do it for us. Thank you to Franklin Graham for coming on. Charlie Kirk will join me tomorrow afternoon on the Dory Monson Show. Tom and Curly Show is coming up next, and I'll see you back here tomorrow. High noon. God bless you in these crazy times.
Sometimes patience is the key to victory. Sometimes it leads to very little, and it seems like it's not worth it. And you wonder why you waited so long for something so disappointing.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. You're really a fantastic audience.